When I became party leader and Taoiseach back in June 2017, I knew that one part of leadership is knowing when the time has come to pass on the baton to somebody else and then having the courage to do it. That time is now.
The political bombshell that sent shockwaves through Ireland. Leo Varadkar stepping down as Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader. But what happens when a Taoiseach suddenly resigns? Who decides who'll replace them and when? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hi there, I'm Ellen Butler, filling in for Sean. Unless you're living under a rock, you'll have heard by now that Leo Varadkar, the man who's led Fine Gael for the last 7 years and has spent most of that time as Taoiseach, is resigning. Not even his coalition colleagues saw this one coming. The conventional thing to do is to see out a term in government, which usually lasts around 4 years, and then either contest the next general election or resign. But Leo Varadkar certainly isn't the first Taoiseach to call time on his leadership before the end of his term.
My name is Paul Hosford. I'm a political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. If you go back to the people who preceded Leo Varadkar in the office, Micheál Martin resigned. That wasn't, you know, we call it a rotating Taoiseach. That was a resignation. And the Kenny did it midterm. Albert Reynolds resigned in 1994. So it's not unprecedented that somebody would step aside mid-term, though the fact that this government will have had two rotations of the Taoiseach's office is certainly a first.
Now, you might be thinking something as seismic as the resignation of a Taoiseach must mean we're heading back to the ballot box. That's not the case.
My name is Gary Murphy and I am Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. No, the resignation of a Taoiseach does not automatically trigger a general election, because the Taoiseach is elected not by the people in a general election, but by Dáil Éireann when it meets after a general election. Just to take the current example, in June of 2020, Dáil Éireann voted for Micheál Martin as a Taoiseach. And Dáil Éireann again voted for Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach in December of 2022. And we assume in April that Dáil Éireann will vote for the next Taoiseach.
Not everyone is happy with that, though. And when I say everyone, I mean all of the opposition parties in the Dáil.
You have stated that it is your time to go and that you are not the person for the job. It's clear that it's time for this entire government to go, to allow the people to have their say and to allow the election of a new government.
I don't think it's appropriate for the Taoiseach simply to say he's resigning as Fine Gael leader, is staying on as Taoiseach until a new leader is chosen, and then that new leader will apparently lead the country until next March.
There are 20,000 members of Fine Gael. I think it makes up 0.4% of the population. Taoiseach, do you think that it's appropriate for this group of 20,000 people to decide who is going to be the next Taoiseach?
But that might be oversimplifying the matter.
So basically, in a representative democracy, it is those we elect who then elect our Taoiseach on our behalf. The role basically of the voters is to vote in TDs, and then we expect our TDs to form a government, and our expectation as citizens and voters is that a government will be formed out of our choices at the ballot box. And one of those choices that the TDs must make is the election of a Taoiseach.
Now, before we go any further, you might be wondering, why can't Micheál Martin just slot back in as Taoiseach again?
Realistically, any TD can be Taoiseach. The reason Micheál Martin won't be able to hear is because of that agreement from when this government was formed in June 2020 to next March. The Taoiseach's office would be split evenly, and Leo Varadkar took over. Micheál Martin having had 2.5 years in charge, so it's not a procedural thing. There's nothing that would bar Micheál Martin from becoming Taoiseach. It's just the political arrangement between the three coalition parties.
So now we've established the system for appointing a new Taoiseach. But before any of that can happen, Leo Varadkar's successor as Fine Gael leader must be chosen first. So who exactly decides that?
Political parties are forever changing their rules about how they elect their leaders. Some do it on the basis of the parliamentary party only, as some have a much wider membership remit, and the weightings or the voting can be somewhat complicated. So just on Fine Gael, they have a system which, for instance, elected Leo Varadkar in 2017, where they have three parts to their election. They have a vote within the parliamentary party, and that is worth 65% of the overall vote. Now, the parliamentary party consists of its TDs, its senators, and its members of the European Parliament. So winning that would certainly go a long way to becoming the next leader of Fine Gael. Then it has its wider party membership. That has 25% of the vote. So everyone who's a member of the party, and I think what they do is they count being a member of the party if you're a paid up member of at least a year or maybe even 2 years in good standing. But the party membership has 25% of the vote, and then the remaining 10% is made up of Fine Gael councillors. So that is the way Fine Gael breaks down its leadership election: 65% parliamentary party, 25% wider party membership, 10% its councillors.
So, as Professor Gary explains, in order to have any chance of becoming leader, you must secure a nomination from 10% of the parliamentary party, which at the moment equates to 6 TDs, senators or MEPs. So, in other words, it's unlikely to be any Joe Soap, but instead someone with a high profile, like one of the party's senior ministers. That then leads us to 2 eventualities. More than one person puts themselves forward and there's a contest, or just one person runs unopposed.
The way Fine Gael has set it out is that if there is a contest, there will be a series of hustings or debates, I think 3 across the country in the course of the next week. The date will be set for the votes for the members, councillors, parliamentary party, wider membership to cast their ballot. Then they will be counted, the weightings will be signed, and the count will take place and an election winner will be declared. Now, if there is only one candidate, that candidate will be automatically declared to be the winner by, I think, the parliamentary party chairperson.
So there you have it. That's how the next Fine Gael leader will be appointed before heading to the Dáil to get voted in as Taoiseach. And when exactly will that happen? Well, the identity of the leader of Fine Gael will be confirmed on Friday the 5th of April. They'll make their first official appearance as leader at the party's Ardéis on Saturday the 6th. Then you can expect to have a new Taoiseach when TDs return from their Easter break on Tuesday the 9th of April. Well done on keeping up with all of that. It's a lot of rigmarole, especially given the next Taoiseach might only be in the job for a few months. Under the law of the land, a Dáil term cannot last more than 5 years, meaning our next general election must take place in the first few months of 2025 at the latest. And ultimately, it's our new Taoiseach who'll decide when that will be. There's been lots of speculation that one might be called as soon as this summer, if the government thinks the timing is right. Nevertheless, once appointed Taoiseach, regardless of how long your term is, you'll be in entitled to some nice perks for life.
One of the things that people focus on a lot is the pension. When it does kick in, it'll be based on their time in government, what offices they reached, how long they were there, like any other pension. As a former teacher, you will be entitled to certain perks: increased use of state cars, the salary for a full-time secretary. They can recruit and select and appoint their own assistant, and then they invoice the Department of Taoiseach, who pays for it. But, you know, they get to use the Platinum services at Dublin Airport, which is a VIP facility that has a kind of a standing arrangement with the Department of Taoiseach, because the Taoiseach obviously doesn't do security and duty free the way you or I would. And of course, he would be entitled to a state funeral.
A stressful job, no doubt, but not all bad.
I want to tell you something. Try it sometime when you've got the cars and 3 houses and 3 homes and a few housekeepers. And I want to tell you and everything else. But remember, it's a well-paid job.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Let Me Explain. It was produced and presented by me, Ellen Butler. The series editor is John Keogh, with Lachlan Hart on sound. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.